movies enter, one movie leaves as we talk about two Hitmans, one from 2007, the other one a blaxploitation movie from 1974. All on today's There Can Be Only One podcast.
Hitman, hitman, what you gonna do about the situation?
You know they, not going to hear that.
The weirdest thing was Robert running away, then coming back. That was a Doppler effect.
What's funny is they're not going to hear your bop, 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 unless Robert just go ahead and like, okay, that's the opening. Because he always puts some music.
That's a good song. Welcome to the There Can Be Only One podcast, where we watch two movies that have nothing to do with each other and then determine which one deserves the title. My name is Robert Allen. Joining me are
Herman Omega Prime Davis
and
David Petretto. Robert, I missed you in podcasts.
We can only see us in normal. We can't just like talk to each other with microphones. We can't be recorded anymore.
Not since those laws were passed. Yep.
Yeah.
Some.
Have you learned nothing from Watergate?
Goddamn John Bell Edwards. He was one of the 14 people that listened to the Family Dinner podcast.
And he was like, soon.
It's not, it's not like he got nothing else to do. I mean, Louisiana's in the black, right?
Yeah, of course we are.
That's
yeah.
Racist, Herman. You can't say that.
Well, my bad. Well, can't say we in the raid.
How can you say that, Herman?
All right, so we were coming up with a list of movies that we were going to do this week, and the one that jumped to the front of the line was two movies that we can at least enjoy that have nothing to do with any sort of Criterion Edition.
Thank you.
Or or something that Herman has never heard of before.
So both of these movies are in the Disney vault, locked away.
Yeah, we got at least one of them I know is an action movie, so I'm going to be interested in that. Another one, I don't know.
Somebody get some action movie.
Yeah,
it's going to be a lot of that problem.
Herman has seen one of them. David has seen none. I have seen none. So this is a total of one previous viewing of this. Mm-hmm. What would you expect to see from a Hitman film?
I mean, I'm familiar with the video game that this is based on. So.
Well, not necessarily the game, but something titled Hitman. What would you want to see from a movie that is called Hitman?
Okay, well, I mean, this premise has been done before, so you're going to have a mysterious background.
Yes.
All right, that haunts him, that follows him to uh-huh. this day. And then it's either he's trying to get out of the business, or this is just an everyday job, and he stumbles into something way bigger than he is, and he gets in over his head. Or it's like one last hit, and it becomes something that he falls in love with, and he tries to get out of the game. Those, are, I think, are the two, the path divided. When you have a Hitman movie, that is what you expect.
Okay.
And then for the sequel of said ambiguous movie, the Hitman thought he was out of the game, but somebody better than him, or ooh, maybe somebody he taught, returns and threatens his very being. So it becomes a Hitman versus another Hitman movie.
They didn't bother with a sequel with the Hitman. They just rebooted it, right? Hitman 47 is just a reboot?
Basically, yeah, basically just a reboot.
Let you imagine the 45 in between. That was what they were trying to do.
Yeah, I guess they just make it sound more better, you know? Like
right. 47.
And then for the kids that did Bartman.
Oh, yeah?
Was, yeah.
Yes.
Really big hit. Man.
The Simpsons? Hey,
David is a connoisseur of video games. He has never played the game Hitman, but he has played plenty of other games and seen the movie adaptations. And we went through a list of films that were video games beforehand. David did not like a single one of those things.
It's very hard for a video game to produce a movie. Now,
you didn't like Super Mario Brothers? That was like right off the... Yeah, I can't even get that out.
Mario?
Yeah, yeah, right, whatever.
No, John Leguizamo really got in touch with his inner Luigi.
Yeah, I can't.
But, I mean, at the end of the day,
We did find out his name was Luigi Mario, which I did not know that.
Miyamoto himself said, hey, guys, I'm going to give you a little inside information here.
Well, they called them Mario Brothers. That's what
it was. Mario, Mario, and Luigi Mario.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't like it either. I didn't like any movie adaptations that were direct.
You didn't like Dennis Hopper's semi-dreads?
No. Like no, I did not.
Trying to be horns.
But we did find out that the better movies are the ones that are based on the video game world. So like the King of Kong. Have you ever seen that documentary, Herman?
No, I have not.
It is about a couple guys trying to get the Donkey Kong Jr. record, which is something that was held by Billy Mitchell since like 1982. And Billy Mitchell is the quintessential bad boy of video game, old video game styles. He even plays up the persona. He has like his own business nowadays where it's like selling hot sauce, and he uses the mantra that he did when it came to video games. He's like, he's got the only high score in Pac-Man. He's just one of these people that knew how to play video games.
Was one of the characters from Pixels based on this dude?
Yes, it was.
Peter Dinklage.
Yeah. Yes.
Peter Dinklage had the visual.
I was thinking that in my head just now, you know? But right. What's funny is, you're talking about video games into movies. Mm. I don't really get a chance to play as much video games as I used to growing up. Mm. But the video games I have played, like Red Dead Redemption of the God of War series, to me, are better sometimes movies than video games because like they have a story to tell.
A lot of cutscenes and stuff like that. I mean, like definitely I can say The Last of Us and the Uncharted series almost feels like you're playing a movie.
So why don't Hollywood just get it right and just take the video game and just say, fuck it, we're not going to make no changes. We're going to take the video game and go straight to the movies with it.
Because that's Hollywood, Herman. Herman goes to Hollywood. But no, it's just one of those things where they can't help but get their mitts on it and try to tweak it and stuff like that. I mean, I would love to see an Uncharted movie. I think that would be a great film. Just, you know, it's Indiana Jones, but with a different twist on it or something like that.
It's supposed to be based on Nathan Fillion, the character, right? Like the design, the look?
The model, yes. I assume as much. I mean, it's almost like a dead ringer, but right. They ran into like licensing rights, or he didn't sign on, or something like that. They wanted younger too,
right?
But I was telling Robert the only game I felt like did a great job from a movie was Chronicles of Riddick: Escape from Butcher's Bay. That one, it had like some of the best mechanics at the time, based on the world around it, between like the stealth, the stealth attacks, hiding bodies. So you did it did a lot of what Hitman and movies do now, which is like the silent assassination on a target. What's the other one? They did Brotherhood and
I have no idea why you looked
the
at
one
me.
With the ships. The one with the ships and it's assassin and it's
yeah,
about
Assassin's
goes,
Creed.
Assassin's Creed.
Yeah,
which they are making into a movie.
Yeah, so
of course that was like
Michael Fassbender.
That was so big they had to do. He's in it.
He is the assassin.
Okay.
They had a preview of it. There's like a annual conference that they bring all the big movie theater types over, and they show like a preview to get people all wet about the upcoming releases, and one of them was Assassin's Creed. They haven't released.
You mean they show him Grease Lightning?
Yep, they do. Well, we lost David to the portal. Sorry.
Hi, I'm David 2. I'll be standing in for David 1. He's been banished to another dimension.
You mean David 47 is what you are.
Yeah. You're both alive, so obviously no.
Got the barcode in the back of your head.
That's why he grows out his hair. He never shaves his head for any of the Manship productions. If he did.
Oh, man, there's a group on for me out.
But yeah, there's they show previews for upcoming movies, and a lot of the trailers automatically come out right afterwards because it's like films that come out in the fall, that sort of time. One of them was Assassin's Creed, and this was almost like we're dipping our toes into what everybody thinks about this, because usually when it comes to movie adaptations from games, it's not considered popular or it's too late, like what's happening with Warcraft. As much as I like to say, hey, they got a great director that looks like this guy might have something good to say about the world, it's still a product that no one has played in 4 years. Why would anybody go see the movie?
Well, I seen the trailer for Warcraft, and first I was like, I never played Warcraft a day in my life.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't know none of the terminology or nothing.
Well,
just watching the trailer,
yeah,
I was like saying to myself, this seemed like something that might be kind of good.
It's not that it isn't good. You just have people that are used to the game. So any variations from the game that are in the movie are going to get people all upset. And so, I've never played it either.
But somebody like me won't get upset. I'm just going to see somebody get that. Kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, I remember it a little bit. I remember Rocket Raccoon.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really know. I didn't know the story behind the Guardians of the Galaxy. I didn't know who Peter Quill was,
yeah, that's a
all
lot
that
of
stuff.
People, yeah.
So when I went to see the movie, I had low expectations for the movie because I didn't think it was going to be like,
oh, very,
you know,
much so.
One of them superhero movies like Batman, you know, that X-Men that I want to see. So when I'm like, damn, this movie is damn good.
That's what they're worried about when it comes to these things. If it has low expectations, it's got to be a good movie in order for people to get interested in it.
There's
even, in.
You know, as I was going to say, there's actually a director that likes to make video game movies based on video games. His name's like U-Bowl or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And every movie he's made has just flopped terribly. And his like all the people that go to his movies just like lampoon him relentlessly. And it's even like challenge people to boxing matches that you know, or something like that. But it's a hard thing to do.
What? He gymmed him? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
let me do something.
The throat.
let me see if I can do something that I'm really good at against people that have never trained before, so I can kick your ass. Yeah. So that's about how like playing improv with Jim is. Like, oh, do you want to create a scene? Do you want a world build? No, I've got a gun. Oh, you want to kill me? That's not happening.
I'm God. Jim Almighty.
Yeah.
Did he make Dragon Ball Evolution? Because that sounds.
Oh
like
no,
that's what he
no,
did.
nothing with a budget. Most of these things are like $5 million or less.
The person, okay. The director that did Dragon Ball Evolution actually came out like probably in the last month or so with an official apology. A very sincere apology for Dragon Ball Evolution.
I was like, "What the fuck are you doing, dog? Like, you made Goku basically a servant of Piccolo? Like, what the?" The fuck going on here? You put them in high school? I'm like, bro.
It was very strange watching that one. I that was a twofer I did back in the day where I drank a lot and watched that with some people. And
that's
probably
the best way to go ahead.
It was. It still was terrible.
Yep. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to watch the first Hitman. I'm going to play the trailer for everybody in case anybody doesn't know anything about it because it's been what? 10 years since that one came out, 2007. Close.
No, I'm just laughing because like the only question, you only asked one question about Hitman, and I think we talked about it for like a total of 20 seconds. The rest of the shit was really
well. Yeah, I think the movie's going to answer all the questions that you'll ever need.
So we're going to do the high paced action one first, and then the blaxploitation one later.
That is correct.
Okay.
We're going to get over with because I found a copy of it online. We're going to get that over with, and then we'll go with the blaxploitation one afterwards. So, stick around, guys.
Yeah, funny, huh? Back to the bus, huh?
I don't understand.
There are those who speak of a man bred from the world's deadliest criminals, raised by an exiled brotherhood of the church. His purpose: to rid the world of the evil that infects it. Most believe his very existence is a sin. But others know he is a necessary evil.
And we're back from watching Hitman! Hitman.
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 From 2007.
2007.
2007, starring Timothy Oliphant.
Timothy Oliphant.
Hold on, I got this weird echo going on here. Let me check this thing. And
I think you fixed it.
And Olga Korolenko and Doug Ray Scott from movies no one else has seen. This was just as forgettable as all the other things. Every one of them has starred in except for Timothy Oliphant. Tell me, guys, experiencing it for the first time, experiencing it for the second time, how did it go?
He was a hitman.
Yep. All the true and true.
Now I remember why I only seen it one time, because one was enough.
I mean, my very first comment after seeing it was totally bland all the way through. It was what it was.
I actually did like I said, I liked the subway fighting scene. That's about it. That's about all I like. Oh, well, I did kind of like seeing Olga get naked a little bit. I mean, you know.
So, pairs of tits that we saw in this movie,
yep.
Three. Two in the drug den and one from the female lead who just couldn't keep clothes on. I think she was allergic to cloth.
Yeah. Get this shit off of me. I don't know what's wrong.
And according to Robert, she hasn't gotten naked in anything else that he can recall. So I think she just blew her quota on this one movie. They're just like, Olga, that was great. From the top, no shirt. Just your mother just died. No shirt. Go.
We made you these craft and fabrics out of pure silk that's see-through that you are unfamiliar with. They are made for emperors. Oh, this feels nice. Woo-hoo.
So kind of from the beginning, it starts, it's one of those flashback things. Basically, he's confronting the guy that's been chasing him his whole life because he's trying to figure out who the hitman is and all the international kills, and it's posed a question, when does a good man know when to kill? And then it jumps all the way back to the last escapade they do.
Well, not pulling a complete Dragon's War, it did come close by having a flashback within a flashback. Because he did go back to, like, whenever he was a child. When he was a child. So it started, well, he was talking to his best friend, Doug Ray Scott. Mm-hmm. and then he had to
fall backwards in a chair to get out of that.
Yeah, and then eventually they had to show like the hitman mining factory that they dug him out of the ground from.
Yeah,
and just like where they did all the Uruk-hai, and they have Uruk-hai assassins and whatever Skeeter was on Muppet Babies.
That's the ranking. Look it up. Yeah. I want a flowchart. Someone make it. So basically, it cuts back to them, and it's like him, Interpol, hunting down the hitman. Who is he? Whatever thing. And there's this big, elaborate scheme that the hitman falls into. He accepts the job. He kills the target. But guess what? The target gives a news conference the very next day. How can that happen? I shot him right through the sinus cavity.
As he explained to Robot 101.
Yeah.
Right. They didn't show who was on the other end, but they needed someone. That's true. They needed someone as uncharismatic as they wanted Timothy Oliphant to be.
And that was something Robert had pointed out. Like, you know, they could have gone with another action star for this because Timothy Oliphant is a charismatic lead.
Oh, Timmy O?
What? Timmy now he is. Now, I think he was just.
I love it when Timmy O smashes that dude's head.
I think now he is, because back then he was just stretching his autistic muscles and stuff.
Dude, you mentioned you don't like Go, but he was great in Go.
I've never seen Go.
You haven't?
No.
Then who said they saw it and then hated him in it? But it was the first thing I ever saw him in, and he was very charismatic. He also had hair in that one, so you might not recognize him.
I'll tell you the first thing I saw him in a second. But
it also stars
in a second, starring Timothy Oliphant.
Stars has Jay Moore, Scott Wolf, the girl that Sarah, is it Sarah Polley?
I'm
is
sure people can Google it if they need to know.
No, I need to tell them.
You need to tell me.
Or I won't be able to sleep.
I can only name three people in this movie.
I'm just going to forget later on.
No, Robert, don't eat the gun.
But I've got to.
But then it's been an elaborate ruse, and he's been set up to take the fall. So then basically he goes to clearing his name. That's
right.
It's one of those movies. You've seen it before. But I think, like Herman said, you know, there is a great fight scene in a subway with a bunch of knives, hitmen fighting hitmen kind of thing. It's what you wanted Smoking Aces to be.
It was hitman on hitman crime is what was happening.
You know, I mean, that one scene is what you wanted Smoking Aces to be.
A sure. Perfect Getaway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's just random. That's the first movie I watched. that's the first movie I remember Timothy Oliphant in with Steven Zahn, The Perfect Getaway.
Right.
And to me, that's when he finally got into his
There was a TV podcast.
I thought you had Tourette's. I wasn't sure what that was.
There was a TV podcast that reviewed various programs that I like to watch, and they referred to Timothy Oliphant.
What's a grit? Sorry, is that what we're doing now?
They referred to Timothy Oliphant as Timothy Oliphantastic, and that is
Timothy Oliphantastic.
Yeah,
wow.
He is.
It's whenever he got in that Rastafari, Timothy Oliphantastic, boom boom bastic, Timothy Oliphantastic.
Yeah. I can see Shaggy singing his theme song, yeah.
He's like a wrestler. Every time he walks on the stage, it's like, Timothy Oliphantastic, he's on the mastic. I'm not going to come in and enter boom-tastic. Timothy!
What would be his finishing move?
His finishing move would be the smirk.
Was there a smirk smurf? Because that would have been great.
Then he gets stabbed by Jim. But anyway, so basically he goes and he redeems his name. But throughout the whole thing, he is a hitman. He takes the job, and then when it blows up, he finishes it all the way through. But he also has one of those, I knew you'd fall into my trap things. I played this trap card from the very beginning, you know, kind of.
Right.
What was it, Death Note? Like, just like, oh, I knew you were going to know that I knew that I knew that kind of thing. So
yes, he backwards worked it out to where everything worked out okay for him. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I don't think it really said all he really did. Oh, yeah. And of course, we jump back to present time where he's still threatening the guy that's been on his case and following his murders internationally. And he's like, oh, I'm going to threaten your dollars. I mean, your dollars. Yep, taking all your money. I'm going to threaten your daughters. By the way, I'm the lead of this movie. I'm going to kill your children. Bye.
Hey, I bought a hooker a house. Yeah, I think that makes up for it.
Yeah.
Karmically, at least.
He redeemed himself at the end.
That's right. There was the lady who could keep her shirt on to save her life with the dragon pasty tattoo.
They should have had like a cross promotion with Dollar Shave Club for this movie. That would have been so great.
I want to think they did.
Ooh.
I want to think. Like,
yeah, I know this came out in 2006.
Or maybe it was the newest Hitman movie. Like they did like a shit crossover for game because it's more popular Asian to get 47? Gamers.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you think that shit commercial, the new one, is all about recruiting new hitmen? And you know, like the one where they're in the waiting area.
Buy a razor, get a barcode.
where he looks up and he sees her. Yeah, yeah, and then everybody's like, "Oh, I'm not getting the job. I'm getting the job." Yeah.
Here's a Beretta.
Yeah,
but I mean, you know, for what it was just action movie. It had the gunplay, it had all that kind of stuff, but just I guess bland by comparisons nowadays.
Yeah, actually, didn't even have no sex scene. I mean, she hinted to it a lot, but he never did nothing. So. Yeah.
And apparently, thanks to Herman, this was apparently PG-13 in theaters.
Well, I wouldn't say thanks to me, but.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't do
this
it.
This guy named Herman Council censoring left and right.
Don't blame me for this movie.
I was just saying, you need that information.
We're about to release the movie in 2 weeks. Sir, I got a letter here from little Herman Davis. he said, all I ever wanted to do was watch Hitman, but it's rated R, and I'm only 14.
Yeah. Well, this movie goes out the Little Herman Davis.
Yeah, basically, the original director.
Walk like a man.
The original director, he shot the movie as a rated R movie because the game, if you ever played the game, it's mature. So, let's say it like that.
Right.
So he shot this movie,
no,
blood,
not mature.
You know, tits and everything. But the studio, seeing dollar bills, say, listen, if we have this movie come out rated R, it won't get seen by that many people, so we gotta get a PG-13.
So they're trying to cash in on the video.
So they asked him. They asked him, say, "Hey man, go back and re-edit." He said, "No, fuck y'all. Okay, fine then." They kicked him out and brought in somebody else to edit the movie, and voila, you had a PG-13 version. But the version we watched tonight was the director's version, which is
Timothy Olyphant naked all over the place.
Just wiener, dangling wiener.
It's hanging out.
I mean, look, when he did the penis helicopter and took out four dudes. But otherwise, you know, I wish I could say more about this movie, but the substance was just not there. It was just, what you expect. I think I called it even before the movie. Like, these are the plot past that you are going to go down.
Right. Well, you got to keep it simple because this is based on an existing property. They didn't adapt this from something else, which hurts it because they toned down the lead, a guy that they should have just let go wild in this thing, and then got a very uncharismatic accompanying group. You know, if they made Doug Ray Scott the hitman and then they made like Timothy Olyphant like the cop chasing him, it might have been a better film.
Yeah, I can see that dynamic better. But they did not shy away from letting you know, like, hey, we really going to take a lot of elements from the video game because the whole movie basically remind you, if you played the game, it was like, hey, that was in the game. That was in the game.
If
that
you were,
was definitely in the game.
If you were to name this movie something else, what would you call it? Timothy Olyphantastic.
Timothy Olyphantastic. He's bombastic. Got the gun running in the fun and the tastic. Yep.
Got a new
name. There was Prapper the Rapper, and there was Timothy Olyphantastic.
Barcode. I don't know.
Allergic to clothes. that's the new name. Oh yeah, barcode. Yeah, this is
bald code.
There you go.
There we go. We got it.
Bald code.
All right, so let's move on for this next movie called Hitman. We are deviating a little bit, which we will eventually anyway, from our normal strict rules when it comes to two movies with the same name, because Hitman in the second one is actually two words instead of Hitman in the first one. So it is called Hit Space Man. But we saw the trailer for it last week and said, we got to watch this movie. It stars a person playing a hitman. That's all I remember.
That's all I remember,
and it's
too.
It's got the dude that played the principal in Breakfast Club. Past that, I don't remember much of this movie. Like, the trailer was like, oh, this looks fun. It probably won't be. Like any other blaxploitation movie, the trailers are so much better than the actual film because they have to fill it.
When did they finally start calling them blaxploitation movie? Because I know they didn't call it that in the 70s. Like, hey, obviously this is a...
We're going to exploit the shit out of you.
Is this like a World War One thing where they named it afterwards?
Yeah.
Where,
I mean, I think it was before Pootie Tang and...
Definitely before Pootie Tang.
What was the other one you just mentioned?
CB4 or Black Dynamite?
Dynamite. Oh, yeah. I feel like they referred to that.
Made fun of it.
But yeah. I think it's when you like look back, like I think... Quentin Tarantino with Foxy Brown. Who did Foxy Brown?
You mean Jackie Brown?
Jackie Brown.
There is a Foxy Brown.
There is a Foxy Brown, which is the bait. But Jackie Brown kind of like called back to that. So
sure.
I think when they look back at the like the movies as a whole, they were like...
It was still called blaxploitation when he made that, yeah. if that helps, if that gives you a
I was just wondering, because like, you know, I mean, when these movies flooded the market, why wouldn't it be called that? Yeah, everybody loved it, you know, period. I don't care. And we make fun of these movies now because of how stupid they are, but... Mm-hmm. People was going to the movies, you know, spending their hard-earned money.
Turner Movie Classics will, on Saturday nights, not every Saturday night, but they'll have blaxploitation movies. And I've seen a majority of some of the older ones through that way. And my favorite premise out of the bunch is one called A Bar, the First Black Superman, where it's about this...
I remember that.
You have seen this one?
No, I haven't seen that one, but I remember that name.
Okay. It's about a black family that moves into a white neighborhood, and like the realization takes a couple minutes, but once it happens, there's like protest happening right outside their door, and the family decides to hire a group of militants. They don't go as far as to call them Black Panthers, but militants to become their bodyguards, and they become friends and find out like the family is the dude's a scientist and he's coming up with this formula that's going to make anybody super strong, sort of thing, and eventually. The guy takes it, so you would think he'd be exactly like Superman afterwards, right? You know what he does? He just starts wishing things true. That's all that happens. So he basically turns into a leprechaun more than say a Superman. He just he like looks at some people and like, oh, they're eating like the finest foods. Now they're eating worms. Like that's pretty much what, like, there's a 20-minute montage about this. But the best thing is the twist that happens in this movie. Because eventually the family gets accepted by the neighbors, and then one of the neighbors comes up to him and said, you know, I was giving you such a hard time. The reason I was doing that is because I'm secretly black. She, totally a white woman, just immediately dropping I'm really black.
That makes sense. But
when that happened, I went, no, that's what you,
But the first, you ever seen Sweetback?
Sweetback's badass song?
Yeah, that was the like...
That's the Mario Van Peebles' dad.
Melvin Van Peebles. And Mario Van Peebles actually had a cameo in that movie,
It wasn't a cameo, man.
Still here, but they're just so over my head. I'm just letting them talk. Oh, hey, guys.
Sometimes we just, you know, to throw in, I guess...
Three the Hard Way is another one I enjoyed.
Yeah, they're back at it again.
And Chef.
But, no, trailers are generally better because they sum up everything that you want to see in a blaxploitation movie, and they do it in a minute and a half. And they're very entertaining. There's plenty of good ones out there. And if you look up...
Dolomite is a good trailer. Dolomite. If y'all want to check that one
trailer,
out.
It's a great movie. Well, what are you talking about?
But the trailer itself.
Well, what happens in Dolomite?
Oh, well, okay. If
he gets to make a break for the door, they're gonna be distracted for another 2 minutes.
It's like they wanted Shaft, but like someone.
No, I know what Dolomite's about.
well, they wanted someone like from the AFL or something. You know, like they wanted a minor league version of Shaft. Like this dude, yeah, okay.
He was still describing Dolomite to me.
He couldn't lift his foot above his waist. Like whenever he did like ground kicks. Yeah.
It's actually a beautiful descriptor.
His pants were so fucking tight.
Yeah.
I mean, his pants were so tight, you could see the chains in his pocket.
Yeah, that's right, man.
All right, alternate title for the first one.
Oh, well, you
for Hitman?
You Ball code. You already are you, I thought
oh,
you,
I was going to say Hit Meh.
Holy shit, that's even better.
Y'all were doing something else, I was thinking.
The last one we did, we did Kicking and Screaming. We actually renamed both movies, and they were both named Meat Comes First. So like, whatever you come up with, it's perfectly fine. Whatever you okay, so right now we're going to show the trailer. Show it. You're going to listen to the trailer.
Yeah.
We're going to show the trailer with the audio off.
Yes. We got so that. We have that technology, Robert.
So just sit there for 20 seconds.
All right, I'm done.
When Taggart came to even the score, what they turned him on, they couldn't turn him off.
Yeah, I know, Mr. Zito. Get him.
You got to taste the blood, huh, animal? You ain't gonna never stop.
Run, Uncle Remus.
Yes. Run!
They wanted him dead. But who could do the job on the hitman? Bernie Casey is tacking out to even the score. You'd better watch out for the hitman. From MGM.
I mean, just get the soundtrack. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Remember the first thing you saw was the hitman theme.
Then it's happening.
Yeah.
We just got finished watching the second Hitman. How was it, guys?
To say that it came out like 35 years ago, can't do the math.
72. Which is way older than me, and I'm 39.
How long is the movie?
72.
It's an hour and a half.
Hour and a half. So for the first hour and 10 minutes, it just feels like he's meandering around, fucking random women, and just asking about his brother.
Yeah.
Then it actually comes together. Guys, it actually came together at the end.
It felt like he was writing I Love L.A. for Randy Newman. He was getting reasons to like this place.
I dare say I like this movie better than the other Hitman with Timothy
Olyphantastic?
Olyphantastic. He's a boombastic. And on the scene, he's got a piece of plastic.
We should have had that song in there.
Oh, well, I haven't dropped that LP yet.
No, it was entertaining. It took a while to get there, but if the journey takes a while, might as well show some boobs. And yeah, they show plenty of boobs.
Hey, wait, hold on, y'all. I gotta admit, y'all, I'm late on this. This is the first time I seen Pangrea boobs.
That's right.
And boy,
right now,
was it worth the wait?
No,
I mean, damn.
Herman's like the first like 20 minutes of Wizard of Oz, and now he's seeing color for the first time.
I understand why she was such a big thing back in the 70s.
Right.
Okay, that's enough of that.
But, I mean, it's hard to say this is better. I mean, I will say the last 20 minutes of this movie is better than the whole of the first other movie. But on a whole, I mean, because that first hour is rough.
Right. All right. To go over a brief explanation of what happens, you have this guy coming into town for his brother's funeral.
Mr. Taggart.
Yeah, Mr. Taggart. The hitman in question. He's out of Oakland.
Out of Oakland. So.
Yeah, he's out of Oakland. He flew in. Oakland's not that close to Los Angeles, I guess. and he's staying in town, trying to help out his niece, trying to find out who did this, because he doesn't think that his brother died of natural causes. Because he got conflicting stories. He drowned. He drowned in whiskey.
Because he also drowned when his car went off the cliff into the ocean.
So his trying to find out the information involved him fucking anything that moved.
Also, it was like, hey, nice funeral. You going back to Oakland or are you getting fucked up, right? Like, everybody just kept threatening him. And it was just kind of like, yeah, we understand your brother's dead, but you're going back to Oakland,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
Like, if they
only got 2 days off of work. You know that.
You know, bereavement is very serious, right? You know? You can't take too many days off.
Well, it turns out, in the weirdest way possible, he finds out that his, like, the whole reason why he died is because his niece was, participating in X-rated movies against her will. And it was a probably one of the more inventive ways of doing it by Pam Grier bragging to Taggart about like the awesome movies that she's in. Hey, look at this awesome film I'm in. Oh, don't mind this other girl here that we had to get her drunk
and slap her.
Yeah,
and slap her around. And then this guy earlier fucked her. So right.
Oh no, no, but she also mentioned like, oh, he hung like a horse.
Oh, yeah. Right, yeah. Right.
He went all up in this
And when he found out about that, he goes and like runs to his niece. Niece is dead.
Shot in the head.
Yep. Dead head.
Niece.
Day. Right. And
shot then through the head.
And now you're dead.
You give lead a bad name.
And by that point, he said, you know what? I'm done fucking all these women. Time to kill. and kill he does. Now he participates in some he actually just sets up the bad guy, which was the most ridiculous way possible. Hey,
I work for Zito. We killed your boss.
And he hangs up, and they're like, he did it! Murder!
Not even that. When he didn't feel like killing some people, he set them free on an animal reserve, and a lion eats Pam Grier. A lion.
Right.
Mauls Pam Grier to death. This isn't like in the zoo. Apparently, it's just a field by the zoo, but that lion is just known to hang out in the
right,
field.
Right, right,
right. Nobody don't fuck. Well, great home security.
So, yeah. We watched this on YouTube.
Yes.
And so subtitles were added on for our benefit.
Right.
Sometimes it was really needed, as in the drunk driving scene, where God bless the person that tried to type all that stuff down. But also, the closed captioning was PG, and the movie was like no. R.
No, they went back and forth on the caption. Yeah. 1 minute is PG, next minute it's rated R. Cause I'm like they actually use ass, and like, you know, they actually wrote nigga on the thing, and then like when the man said nigga in the movie, they use another word for it. I'm like, what the fuck?
And then the interpreter's mom took over, and she got red faced the whole time, and it just turned into, hey pal, leave my other friend alone.
Okay.
So one of the better moments was whenever he decided to call his old lady back in Oakland and talk to her over the phone.
Right.
And he's saying how hot she is. And he says, man, I sure like it when you put those big brown titties in my eyes.
Right.
The closed caption, he says, man, do I like it when you put those big brown titties in my ass? to which we all sat there and went, all right, to each their own.
That's basically like a third grader coming up with a porn. Yeah. Is what happened.
But I read it before he said it, and I'm like saying to myself, like, okay, what kind of freaky shit he into? Like, ah, my God, damn.
But I cannot over. I mean, seriously, the two, his old buddy from back in the day in L.A. selling used cars with his brother. Gets drunk with him right after the funeral. And they're driving a car. And the slurring is just... It's pretty much the scene from Airplane, but they're legit like talking to each other and drunken jive. And it is just...
While the police has blocked everybody off, he says, do not hang around these guys. They might be pretending to be drunk. They might actually run over you the whole time. So,
but at no time in this movie is he truly a hitman.
No.
He's a Quentin Tarantino revenge figure.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, a hitman is actually called, and this hitman is played by...
Oh, yeah, by the principal in
Breakfast Club.
But he's not in this until, like, the last 7 minutes of this movie, at best.
And he's the only hitman in this actual film.
That's true.
And he's a cop.
Oh, yeah.
LAPD.
Man, we all know the cops are crooked.
You gotta take multiple jobs these days. You know, they don't give you a lot on the pension, so you gotta work... towards something else. It might as well be something you love.
But guys, don't worry. Tackett, our hitman, he survives because right as the real hitman has him in his sights, he gets a broadcast over his radio saying, hey, the guy that hired you is dead. No money anymore.
So I'm not going to go ahead and kill this person. Why do
you
that?
You know what? If you really think about it, though, that is actually kind of a good move to make him a cop, so he would be getting those broadcasts over his radio.
That is true.
I mean, that's kind of thought out pretty nicely.
Last 20 minutes of the movie is thought out.
Yeah, I know. Like, between like the whole like the pieces coming together about her being in the porn, and that's why her father got upset about the people, and then so he had to be taken out. Like, yeah, like it feels like they brought in like a genius whiz to fix the script at the last second.
Well, I mean, like with the like the, when he called back his bosses, everybody we thought is his old lady. It's actually his boss old lady. We don't know what the hell going on right there. We just know that he called somebody. We thought it was a prank call at first.
That's right.
It was like, we don't know what the fuck going on.
But really, it, really, the first hour of this movie, you're just like watching him as he goes to dog fights, as he goes to the whorehouses.
And we love it.
For some reason, he just knows everybody's lying to him, even though he has no reason to believe so. So he always grabs everybody's arms like, stop lying to me. And just like, you're going to tell me the truth. And then he walks away in confidence. He's like, nobody knows anything.
Yeah.
just wandering around.
Like Kane, but in one city. That's all. Just keeps wandering around in this one particular city where he had a lot of money left over.
Yeah.
Maybe it was willed to him by his brother. Who knows? But he was just giving it to the people.
Actually, he was also in the porn business, but in the porn business in Oakland.
Yes.
So...
He kept to his turf.
Yeah, right. He had some money. Maybe got.
No, there's one scene where he think he worked for like a state agency the way he dressed. Okay,
there was one scene where he, he tells his niece he's going to be going back to Oakland after he figures this out, and she's like, "You're not my boss, but you know I still love you." So he's like, "Here, here's some money." To which the girlfriend's boyfriend proceeds to count all the money in real time for all
70,
his
abuse. 80. Oh, look, we can buy cocaine at this point, and there's still more.
Where was I? Oh, yeah. 90.
And this is 1972, so just imagine how much $90 is.
And they were selling used cars for, what did you say, 200?
269.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's half a car, so, like, close to $900.
Ooh, we can buy the box set of RoboCop after this, and let's see. We got some extra money left over. We can buy Weezer new album. Yay!
Yeah, that was out in 1972?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, only 20 years ago, according to your math, just a couple of seconds ago.
You say 72. Yeah, I was gonna let it go when you say RoboCop. I was like, Weezer, really?
Yeah. Nah. Yeah, man, that's what happened.
Now they're talking about music, and I can't get away.
We did enjoy the movie, and yes, it did have the problem with it being not really about a hitman. But when you write such a sweet song like Hitman.
Hitman.
The rest of the movie writes itself. You don't have to bother with anything. It does feel like they gave it, like they had certain things available to them that they had to write a story around. Mm-hmm. You had an animal preserve. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. In the beginning, they mentioned it was based on a book.
Yeah. You had a, it looked like a factory, just that they were able to use because they didn't work there on Sundays. So
one guy was a vet, so. Of course, he worked with elephants, tigers, giraffes.
Yes.
And of course, he was hung like a horse.
he walks with the animals.
but
we had a couple of repeating themes. One,
right.
the hooker who has the information.
Hooker with information that is also totally against the lead. Doesn't like him, but puts up with him anyway.
Two, women in trunks of cars.
Yes. Where else are you going to put them? They can't be seen with us.
A lot can you not carry your hookers? Trunks.
A lot of topless scenes.
Yes.
Yes, this definitely surpassed the boob. The boobage in this one was, definitely. And then, of course, Pam Grier. Hey, golf clap for Pam Grier, everybody.
Yay.
One of her first
and
star
you know
roles.
What? You know what? Equal rights. We saw a lot of dude butt.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, whatever. But
Herman, take a moment and appreciate the dude butt.
There was dude
Herman.
Butt.
Yeah.
Herman.
Well, yeah. I'm going to tell people, like, hey.
You're going to tell people about that dude butt? You're going to get that Shaq meat?
The sound.
Yeah, you get that dude butt.
The soundtrack is pretty good. I mean, if y'all, the Hitman soundtrack is pretty good. That's all I'm going to say.
Robert knows about that tasty Shaq meat.
Oh, yeah. I totally know about that tasty Shaq meat.
You know about that dude butt?
Yeah.
Dude butt.
That was the name of my four-man all-male group. Doobup, doo-wah. We weren't the doo-wahs, we're the dude butts.
Y'all just cracking out the singles, huh?
Yeah. Cracking them out. Having a gas.
But all in all, entertaining movies. But do we want to keep this trend where both films don't deserve the title, or does one of these movies actually deserve being called Hitman?
Well, I'm going to lead that up to David.
I'm going to say if... if we have to choose like one or the other, then the first movie
yes.
is Hitman, because he is a hitman.
That's
it's
true.
It's about the life of a hitman. You know, whether the other titles we provided were did enough justification, but for this movie, I found Robert said the first title is... He's going to hit that man.
Right. But you came up with a better one.
My favorite was, since he traveled to Los Angeles from Oakland to get revenge, this movie is called The Oakland Raider.
It's definitely a better title.
So I mean,
we have to use it.
To
David's such a big football fan.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Don't get me started.
Oh, look. No, we're going to get
my
started.
Microphone.
what was the alternate title for Timmy Oliphant? Oliphant?
Hit meh.
Hit meh.
Meh.
The other one was like, what is it, Bald Code?
Yeah, Bald Code.
Bald Code. It was
yeah, Bar Code.
No, I think the 1970s Hitman could easily be called Oakland Raider. I like that better.
Oakland Raider. I mean, my feeling for the first one is hit meh, but yeah.
But yeah, it works both ways. I think the cat's tired of us doing this thing.
Yeah,
we're done.
But Kitty, why?
This is my place. You eat enough. You go now.
You have an Asian cat?
Yes.
Ring, ring. Hello to China.
My cat's calling from China? What the hell?
Illinois. I took a bus.
Yeah. I can see that. That's plausible.
It's plausible.
Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow. Damn it. God damn it, man.
Yeah, I know. That was perfect.
This is a catastrophe if I've ever heard one.
Herman, do one.
Herman. Oh, no.
Herman. Cat fun.
What? I don't got nothing.
Cat got your tongue?
You're kid teasing us right now.
Come on, Herman.
I don't have none. No.
Oh, meow you.
You just made a sound.
Michelle Pfeiffer is Catwoman.
Oh, woof, woof. Yeah. What's a grit? Sorry, I had Herman.
Did the Bob Newhart show just end? Oh, no. I was thinking of Family Ties. Never mind. But anyway, so we're renaming the 70s version. It'll now be called Oakland Raider. Timothy Oliphant, you can still be called Hitman. I don't
got away this close, Timothy yes. Oliphant. Watch your ass.
Right. You got as close as the shave of a Gillette razor.
Oh, go watch Bernie Casey ass. We watched it enough that tonight. Shit.
Yeah, Timothy Oliphant, you justified yourself just this much.
Now go. Deadwood.
Deadwood.
Well, he's in that now?
Oh, he was in Deadwood, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Hey, where can they see you, David? Where can the fine folks here at
wherever you can see Robert, which would be
we are probably going to release this the day of we're going to do our open mic. Yeah. Oh, that's right, improv over at the Manship. I don't know why I was thinking it was an open mic. So yeah, we're doing our improv show on May 13th, which is the day I think we're gonna let this drop. And you can see David out there.
Hey, and doing his improv stuff. I'll come out again for another one of these.
And you can see me out there in the audience.
Yes. Where can they find you, Herman?
Third row left.
They can find me on Facebook under Herman Omega Prime Davis. Or you go to my Instagram under Omega Prime 79. And Twitter, I actually looked it up because I don't really be on Twitter too much, but it's Omega _ Prime.
Were you getting the emails whenever a new one of these would drop from Jeremy? Or
yes, I was. That's why I'm like, I finally went and looked at my Twitter.
And please check out all the other fine podcasts of the Red Stick Podcast, including our the main or the anchor of all the other ones, the Red Stick Podcast, which both me and David have been on.
Yeah.
And the Dork
Treat
Podcast.
Treat yourself and go back to episode one of the Family Dinner Podcast.
What? I burned those. Those don't exist.
I digitally scorched earth.
I actually was there watching y'all, and I was like, yeah.
God, the first one was when we did improv.
Yeah, we turned it into bullshit, which is about what we do here. So it It got slightly better. So
hey, give Dork the plug again. We walked all over that.
Oh no, yeah, and Dork podcast, which none of us have been on. That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah, because yeah. none of us.
They're
yeah.
not ready. For
none,
the
of
real
us. None of us. None of us. Google gobble. Google gobble. None of us.
I hate that I knew where that was going.
Oh, well, I mean, we had to do it. It was that great reference of, was it Freaked? Yeah, that's it. Freaks? That's it. No, Freaked and Geeks. Freaks and Geeks. That's it. Yeah. All right, so that's been another one of these. Join us next week when we'll be doing another movie, I'm sure, hopefully. So, good night, everybody.
Leave them hanging.
My name's Robert Rowell.
Herman Omega Brown Davis.
David Cat Pun Petrano.
Good night, good night, good night.
Good night.
Hey, I picked up a guy named A.V. today. You ever,
Oh, up? I know A.V.
Yeah. He told me that he's got to chase his dream about to be a comedian. So
sure.
Hey, you ever did stand-up at the station? Oh, yeah. I've been doing it for the last 6 months or so. I said, oh, so you know Robert Ryle and, you know, they, oh, yeah, Rob, yeah, you know, it's and everything. I said, so you really going to go chase your dream, huh? I said, yeah. I said, where you going? Somewhere out there in Los Angeles or nothing, something like that.
Yeah, he's definitely one of those guys that's been hounding me to get a headlining spot. He actually bought me a beer. Like I,
whoa,
like one of those things. So I
when's the marriage?
Yeah.
Well, save the day, guys. It's it's gonna be Valentine's Day.
Oh, cliche, but I like it.
Yeah. So we'll be got a year, almost a year.
Surprisingly free. That surprised the hell out of me. I didn't think it'd be available when it happened. So.
Wouldn't like Louisiana, like old school Louisiana, hay will explode because it'll be an interracial gay marriage? Wouldn't it be like the ultimate, like, what the fuck are y'all doing? Like, you know.
But if they were both transgender,
it'd be confusing.
It would be a Rubik's cube of marriages. Like, what do I stick in what?
Yeah.
What? Suck on my jaw guy.
Both of them are hermaphrodites.
Ooh.
Like that be.
It sounds like a Dr. Seuss animal. Hermaphrodites.
Test. Okay, this one's low. I need to keep low.
He seemed like a cool guy, though. I mean, I wonder why he was staying in a motel, though. But, you know,
I don't care.
Yeah, I don't know what he was doing, but yeah.
Staying in a hotel, sure. That's where people stay.
Yeah, basically.
All right, here we go.
Yeah,
good time.
Yeah,
that's what I was waiting for.
Here we go.
Happy back here, Robert.